On tonight's show, we've got record breakers and curse crushers. Yeah, that's my writing.
And our game of the week, it's How the West Was Won.
Oh, God. And we've got our Hustle Awards. We searched far and wide for these.
And a little bit closer to home.
We did. So let's just roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money.
Big water slides, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know, what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome into another exciting episode of the Bitch Boys podcast. I'm Colin Cahill.
And I'm Thomas Gleaton.
And we are the Bitch Boys. This is our podcast. It's football season.
Oh, yeah.
We're at the midway point.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a lot of things to talk about.
It is the most fantastic time of year.
It is.
And
basketball just started up. We got college basketball starting up in like 2 weeks.
We haven't even gotten to that yet.
Yeah. Like, we're like literally, I mean, NBA started last night. We got college football. We got NFL rolling. It is literally the best time of the year, as Scott Watkins has proclaimed for the last like 2 years.
And, you know, speaking of which, as of us recording this moment, it is his birthday. So,
oh,
happy birthday shout out.
Oh, is that? I'm sorry. I'm lost. He said it was King Day. Does that mean it's really birthday? Am I
everybody
that lost?
Was, I don't know, but everybody was telling him happy birthday, and he said, thank you. So happy birthday, Scott.
That's that new young lingo. Man, we're already lost.
I guess.
Where's
my prune juice?
Yeah. Hey, prune juice. I'm talking about.
Speaking of being old souls, we're also on Twitter. You can find us at the OG Bench Boys. You can find me on LinkedIn, probably. I'm still on MySpace. We're also anywhere podcasts are found, Stitcher, Luminary, Google Play, Apple. The list goes on and on.
Everything.
But I'm not going to bore you with a list of places where we are.
If you're listening to us, you obviously got to us somehow.
Right. So there while you're at it, you may as well hit that subscribe button.
Bam. So knock it out.
Just get it done.
No, we've got a lot of things to talk about. So let's just get to it and get out the gate.
Out of the gate.
And out of the gate, that means, well, first of all, let's just touch on it. Last week, I went 5-1, my boy Tom Kett.
You know, I didn't do so well.
Didn't do so well, but it's okay.
You know, it was your week to shine.
I need a good week. My fantasy teams are just terrible. I won something last week, thankfully. So.
Yeah, well, I've got... Go ahead and put this out of the way. I know we're not an NFL podcast. We are definitely a group of five Sunbelt-oriented podcast, but it's worth noting I have Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson on my team. So I'm doing pretty well in the fantasy department.
I actually have that. I have those two same quarterbacks. I swear to God, I can pull it up.
Seriously?
I can pull it up on my team right now.
We'll do that between recording
but,
sessions.
You know, but it was a heck of a week for the Sun Belt. You know, finally this week, we finally don't have a weekday game, which is
right.
Really, it's a really nice week this week.
Like everybody's on Saturday where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, where you're supposed to be. So, but no, 5-1 last week. I think Tulane was the only loss I think I had.
That was the only one.
So good week there. Let's get into our hustle awards of the week.
Yep.
We had some dudes that straight hustled out the gate. So first of all, I actually have two. You had two last week. I got two this week.
That's fine.
That's just how we do it. So first one out of the Army Georgia State game. This one's kind of an easy call. I think a lot of people saw this. But Trajan, is it Trajan?
Trajan.
Trajan Stevens-McQueen?
Trajan Stevens-McQueen.
Trajan, he had an incredible game against Army. Now, granted, Army, they run the ball a lot. And Mr. Trajan is a linebacker. So he's going to take a brunt of Army. Well, he took a lot of the brunt because he had 20 tackles in the game. 10 solo tackles. That's incredible. We talked about, Brian London earlier this year. I think he had, 22 or something like that. This guy almost got Brian London stats here. We're going to talk about Mr. Brian London later in the show as well, as we talk Texas State. But no, Stevens-McQueen, an incredible, incredible game. 20 tackles. He has 69 tackles on the year. He almost had a third of his total tackles in one game. That's an incredible game. They won the ball game, so obviously all those tackles were needed because they won 28-21. Heck of a game between Georgia State and Army. But no, that is my first Been on Sports Hustle Award. You got it. What do you, who do you got?
So I'm taking a little bit of a side road here. We had a ranked team. We had a ranked team come in, play a game, and not lose for the first time ever. And it was an absolute throwdown last week. Our game of the week last week was App State ULM. I thought it would have been a little bit closer than it was. Not so much. Here's the deal. Zach Thomas accounted for, by himself, 272 yards passing and rushing, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. We'll ignore that. But the dude had some crazy numbers on his own. And then, obviously, they sat him down to put Jacob Huseman in, or Huseman.
Huseman.
I don't know who that man is. Point is, Zach Thomas is my award winner this week just because he put on a gosh dang clinic against the Warhawks.
I mean, they couldn't stop that offense.
No.
They scored the game's first 7 points, ULM did. They went down the field, scripted play calling, looked great, and then App State said, okay, that was fun, but we're gonna play now.
All right, spotted you 7. Let's do the rest.
And they scored 52 unanswered. I mean, Zach Thomas, we talked about him. That was our game of the week last week.
Yeah.
And we talked about how he's just, I mean, he's a workman type guy. He doesn't, I mean, those stats, 260, is that what he did, total offense?
That includes passing and running.
So 260, I mean, 214 through the air, that's not like gaudy numbers, but that is just how he plays. He doesn't, and I saw the interception. It was a tip ball. That is well deserved. I mean, he's that good of a player. He makes that offense go.
If he's not putting up the numbers, he's leading the team to those stats. Mm. And so that's why he gets my Bet on Sports Hustle Award of the week.
Well, you know, I said I had 2.
Yeah.
I do have 2.
And I'm going to let you have it. He has not told me about this, by the way.
He doesn't know about this. I'm working on trying to get what I'm trying to find. So, we haven't, this is, I kind of teased at this. I did a little tease, Thomas, that we haven't talked about this team in a long, long time. And you rattled off a couple teams, and I was like, nope, that's not it. Because it has been so long since we have talked about this team. It is a beloved team. It is a local team. It is the UWF Argonauts. Division II, the finest. We haven't talked about them for a long time.
Yeah.
And boy, have we missed out on some things. UWF is ranked in the top 25 right now. They are 5-1, have rattled off 5 wins in a row. The last 2 games, they have outscored opponents 73-5. This past week, they literally started the game off with a safety, and it ended up winning 30-2.
So I was joking about App State spotting ULM 7. No. Western Florida literally said, okay, here's 2. I'm going to throw the ball out of the end zone. Yep. Let's go.
Yeah, it was they played West Georgia. What happened in Georgia this past Saturday? There was a tropical storm that came right through. They played in that tropical storm. It was a slugfest.
I saw the pictures.
Oh, yeah. It was dirty. It was they were talking about the jerseys. They wore all whites. I said, bless the people that have to wash those jerseys because, Lord have mercy, they're going to be dirty.
If you have to buy stock in OxiClean, go ahead and do it.
Do it now. Like, do it now. So UWF is my team, but there's a player on UWF that I have to single out.
Real quick before we get to that, those of you just joining us, of you who've never listened to us before, we're located in Baldwin County right now. Our favorite Division II team, we have a soft spot for Western Florida. He's from Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we like West giving Florida. Small schools some love. Mm-hmm. They're not Sun Belt, but gosh darn it, they should be.
They really should be. So we just love the Argos. That's just how it is.
We do.
You know, last year, they started out like number one in the country and kind of fell apart late.
Right.
But this year, I'm going to get into their team stats because they're having an incredible season right now. Like, it's not Wisconsin defense, but it is dang close.
Well, I mean, if you're throwing the name Wisconsin out there, I already know.
What they're doing is incredible. But my Bet on Sports Hustle Award second player of the week is Gael Laurent, who is a 6'2", 215-pound defensive end. So he is more of like a bandit type guy.
Yeah.
This past week, he had 7 tackles, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery for a touchdown.
My man.
My man, Gael Laurent, a redshirt freshman out of Miami, Florida, played
you said,
at.
You said defensive end?
Yeah, he's a defensive end.
Defensive end, eat. Like, yeah. Jesus.
Go eat. He did eat.
That's great.
I mean, it was an ugly game because of just the conditions, but let me tell you something. Guys on the line, those guys that are in the trenches, they love games like that.
Oh, they absolutely do.
That they could just it's just ground and pound because you can't throw the ball at all, and you're hitting every guy. I mean, those are the games that defensive linemen. Those are the games that defensive linemen love. So yeah, Gael Laurent. I hope it might be Gael. It's G A E L. I'm assuming it's Gael. Maybe.
It's a French name, so that's a good maybe. Call.
So he gets my Bet on Sports Hustle Award. And just to roll in, because I was researching the stats of UWF this year, and they are having an incredible season. One, they're 5-1. They lost their first game in overtime, and they've rattled off 5 straight wins. They lost their first game 20-13. Then they go 42-14, 69-0, 27-21, 48-3, 30-2.
Who's at 27-21?
That would be Mississippi College. That was on family weekend. So 27-21, they play in the Wahoo Stadium just across the bay in Pensacola. Now, they do have 2 big games. They have Valdosta State and West Alabama, which in the Gulf South Conference. That was the other thing. I forgot one more thing. The freshman, Gael Laurent, he was named freshman Gulf South Conference Player of the Week. So that was the other reason why he got the award. But they still have, back to UWF, they still have Valdosta State, who is, I think, number one in the country right now in Division II football. They also have a coach that we know pretty well that used to be a quarterback at Troy.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you remember him. He's got all the records, basically, in Troy's.
Levi?
There you go.
Levi's down at West Florida?
Not West Florida. He's at Valdosta State.
That's right.
Brown, former Troy quarterback. Yep. He's the QB coach at Valdosta State. So
I knew that.
So we'll get a little Troy love. But no, UWF, incredible, incredible season so far right now. Let me find those stats here right now.
And, you know, real quick, this totally counts because there are plenty of teams in the Sun Belt right now that were Gulf South members at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Troy, Arkansas State. I think Texas State was in the Gulf South at one point. But, I mean,
this counts.
We're all about the small schools here. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this one's in our backyard, so we're going to throw them some love.
In the 6 games that West Florida has played, they've allowed a total of 60 points. So they're giving up 10 points a game. That's incredible.
That is Wisconsin level.
Yeah. They're only allowing 200 and I'm gonna say 27 yards a game. No, excuse me, 242 yards a game. This defense. That's how many. That's what they're doing.
Total passing and rushing.
They're only giving up 240 a game.
Hot dang.
Yeah, they literally are averaging 4 plays. They're only giving up 4 yards a play. I mean, that is a stout defense that they're playing with, and their offense is averaging 39 points a game. I mean, those are good numbers. Those are numbers you want to see, and that's why they're 5-1. So we haven't talked about them for forever. They need some love. They're ranked inside the top 25. I think they're like 19, 21-ish right now in Division II football. So had to give some love to some Argonauts because,
of course,
we just haven't in a while. I know a lot of people are going to be like, what the heck? But, hey, go watch them. This is not a typical team. Like, their starting quarterback is from Colorado State. They have wide receivers from Northern Illinois. They have defensive backs from a couple of MAC schools as well. I think Central Michigan and Buffalo. I mean, this is a team that they have some dang good talent. I mean, D1 talent that are playing D2 level. And it's really because of their location. So
see, if you go back and listen to some of our season 1 episodes, we talked about them a lot just because we're right next door. Mm-hmm. But this is the same team that in their first year of existence as a Division II team went to the championship game.
The national title game.
and they came up short against Texas A&M Commerce. That was a very good Texas A&M Commerce team.
Very good.
I think their quarterback
is in the NFL.
That's what I was about to say.
He was in the AAF or something like that.
No, he's drafted in the XFL.
There you go.
That's what it was. But the point was, this is a program to watch.
Oh, yeah.
This is a program to watch. North Alabama just moved up to Division I this past year. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't know.
Right?
Yeah, they're in FCS, but I know that the pendulum swings often, and sometimes it's still, sometimes it's not. But watch for the next round of realignment, this team could move up.
They could. I Pensacola loves any type of sport that gets in there. We've talked about, you know, we've talked about Mobile and Pensacola. I personally, in my opinion, I hope they stay D2 because I feel like they could be like a North Dakota State where they could really dominate D2. They've got the location. They have a place. I mean, Valdosta is another good place where there's just a lot of good high school talent. And they can, and Pensacola, the Panhandle, Mobile, they have a lot of good high school talent around here that you can get some good talent in D2, like that kind of fall through the cracks. And I think they should stay in D2. It doesn't matter. If they do stay in D2, they're still going to be treated like a Power 5 team in Pensacola. That's just how Pensacola treats athletic programs that are in that town. It's really incredible. So, but no, just finishing up, Argonauts 5-1, Player of the Week, Guy Laurent, Hustle Award guy. So I figured you'd like that a little bit.
I do. I appreciate it. It's kind
of came out of left field.
I love it. I love talking about the Argos. Great team to follow.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the Sun Belt real quick. And what did we say at the top of the show? It is basically the halfway point.
Everyone has played 6 games. I mean, most of the teams have played 7 games, but every single team has played 6 games.
I think that's enough to go back and start looking at some of the stuff that's happened this season.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean,
to start judging based on what these teams can do, where they're at. And honestly, there are a couple of surprises to me.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, the one that stands out, the one that stood out to our fans on Twitter in that poll that y'all can still participate in, but Georgia State is everybody's surprise. We saw them week one beat Tennessee, and we were like, good for them.
Yeah.
Great job. You went out and did something you've never done before. Good for you. Now get back to the back of the line. And they're like, no. Yeah. We're contending for a bowl this season, and that's where we're headed. Sean Elliott, I don't know what's in the water, but it's beating out Eagle Creek for sure right now. And the Panthers are just on fire right now. They are one of 3 teams in the conference to have 5 wins already. And the other 2 are the 2 that played for the title last year. So if anybody's a surprise, if there's any surprise at all in the Sun Belt, it's Georgia State and how well they're doing.
Yeah, that's an easy one to pick. I mean, just because of how well they're playing. Dan Ellington, and I didn't prepare well enough, but I talked to Dan Ellington at Sun Belt Media Day. And I literally said, what are the expectations for Georgia State? And you can ask Scott Watkins, because me and him were both interviewing him at the same time. I said, what are the expectations? He looked over and he said, that belt right there. And he was looking at the MVP belt. And he said, we're going to win a championship.
Well, I mean, I hate to break it to him. That's probably not going to happen. But they're off to a pretty darn good start.
They're off to a better start than I think anybody predicted them to do this year.
Better than
we
predicted, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at my predictions for basically
beginning. I will say, while we're on the topic of Georgia State, I totally called them beating Arkansas State.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that would have just been a fluke, though. I thought it was just going to be Arkansas State dropping a game. But it wasn't. Georgia State showed up in that game just beat Arkansas State.
I mean,
there was no fluke about it.
We talked last week that I said that I think that they're the third, maybe second or third most physical team in the conference, and they showed. I mean, they played a really good Army team. I mean,
they
did. This Army team wasn't as good as they were last year, but that's Army is a tough out like that. I mean, they took Michigan to overtime this year.
Yeah,
Michigan at the Big House, like. They are a tough out, and they beat Army 28-21 this past week. It took everything Dan Ellington had. I mean, he had, 300 yards passing. You know, they are playing they're just playing really physical, and that's a good thing to see. Back to my, you know, preseason predictions on them, I had them going 3-9. 3-9. So they are blowing my predictions out the water. I was dead wrong about them.
Anytime a Sun Belt team has a winning record in the out-of-conference slate, mm-hmm. That is a good measuring stick for the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah.
And Georgia State's doing it. Some other surprises for me. I know we're going to talk about this one in a bit, but let's start with Omar Bayless. I don't think it's necessarily a surprise that he's good. It's surprising that he's this good.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely trimming away at defenses like they're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the top wide receivers in the country. I'd also like to add Josh Johnson is a surprise to me. Because if I was going to say, if you were going to tell me at the beginning of the season, a Sunbelt running back is going to be in the top 10 in the middle of the year, what team are they going to be from? I'm going to tell you Darrington Evans. I would have been close. But then I would have went with somebody else, anybody else, mm-hmm. not a ULM running back.
Yeah, ULM running back that just want to let you know he's from Alabama.
Really? Where?
Yeah, Opelika.
Oh, yeah, well.
The 334. I think I misquoted last week. I want to go back. I'm pretty sure. I think I might have said he went to Texas A&M for some reason, but he did not. He went to JUCO route. He actually didn't play. He didn't even play junior college football until his second year there. Like he was like, I don't know if I want to keep playing. And then now look at him now. So unbelievable story.
Worked out for the Warhawks, that's
for
sure.
Johnson. I mean, yeah. Granted, that was an RB battle, a running back battle, and Darrington Evans did win it. But Josh Johnson didn't have a bad game. He just didn't have any touchdowns. That was the thing that he was lacking. I mean, he had, I think, 87 yards, which isn't terrible against a really good App State run defense. No, he's definitely been a really nice surprise. Omar Bayless has been a really nice surprise. To me, I think the surprise to me, and I think jury might still be out because there's been so much stuff that has happened with them, is Georgia Southern. I think a lot of people really thought Georgia Southern was gonna take this next step. I mean, they won 10 games last year. They had a great bowl win with a walk-off field goal. You had Chad Lunsford coming back. They were getting back to the physicality that people are used to seeing Georgia Southern play with at the end of the year last year, and I think a lot of stuff that happened with Shai Wirtz, I think that took away a little bit. They had some problems with some other guys on the team. They played a really good LSU team that I think really beat them up. I mean, really beat them up. And
that's an LSU team that is literally contending for a national title.
They are. That was a really, really good team. They almost beat Minnesota, and Minnesota is undefeated right now. But the last two games. You know, South Alabama game, sleeper. I mean, slept walk through that game. And then even Coastal Carolina, I know the conditions were terrible to play in. I mean, raining all game long. We also got to talk about all the flags, all the ejections in that game.
Yeah.
But they really just surprised me their offense just hasn't been there. You know, they aren't even averaging 200 yards a game yet. And 200 yards rushing a game, or they might just be over it, actually. I think they're just over. I think they're at, like, 230, which most teams are like, okay, that's good. But when you're Georgia Southern, you want to be up in the 300s with the type of offense that you're running. So that is not good for them. That's below average for them. So they've kind of been my surprise. The other surprise, we had a game of the week last week, App State. I am shocked that App State, Eli Drinkwitz, never been a head coach before, hasn't lost a game, has a big win over North Carolina, to still have the consistency in those three phases like what they have. And in the, I watched them this week against ULM. They still look like ULM that we've seen for the last 3 years. And that's just a workman offense that goes and runs the ball, opens up. I mean, I'm talking about this O-line. They were opening up massive holes for Darrington Evans and the other three running backs. And then Zach Thomas, whenever they closed down on the running backs, he'd just take it himself and get about 8 to 10 yards. I think he had a 30-yard run in the game too. But they look so good. And that's been so surprising to me because of what you and me have seen with Troy and the
regression.
Well, just the transition between coaching staffs.
Yeah.
They don't look like they've missed a beat. Like, they really haven't. There's been a little gaps here, little glimpses, but nothing that makes me worried or makes me hesitant to say this, in that I do believe App State could win 11 games and go 11-1. I think their only loss is going to be South Carolina. I truly believe right now App State goes 11-1, runs the table, and wins the conference.
I agree with you on that. And I'm going to call an audible here. I'm, like, literally changing this up on the fly from our plans. So I'm going to go ahead and transition into this real quick. But, you know, that gets me into thinking about bowl season. I know you're not there yet. We'll get to that. But you're absolutely right. App State has been the favorite to win the conference. Mm-hmm. I've said it time and time and time again. Until they lose a step, I have no reason to doubt in them. And they're going to go win the conference. They're going to beat Louisiana in the conference championship game, mm-hmm. because right now that's the best team in the West.
Yep.
And they're going to go to the New Orleans Bowl, which is a crying shame because if
they deserve better,
they deserve much better.
Yeah.
And I think we could talk about how the conference needs to get better bowl games, but that's going to be
it's better than nothing. I mean, if we're talking about bowls, what 9 years ago I think we had two bowl tie-ins.
Right.
That was it. Now we have five.
Right.
I mean, granted, yeah, they aren't going to be the great bowl games, but I think regionally where they're set up, with the exception of the Arizona Bowl, which we're getting out of after this season, and we're adding the Coastal Carolina Bowl, wherever that's going to be. It's going to be at Coastal Carolina, but
Myrtle Beach Bowl,
whatever it is. The regional sites, and that's our fan base. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, unfortunately, Georgia State, yeah, you've got Atlanta right there. Sorry, Georgia State, you're never going to go to a Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl or whatever it is. That's just never going to happen. Mm. No, but I mean, let's just jump right in. Let's do it right now. You've got some bowl projections.
I've got my bowl projections. We're going to go and transition from looking at the season that has been to the season that I think it will be. I'm going to go ahead and put some cards on the table here. We're going to do this later, more often and more later down the road. But I'm going to go ahead and say right now, App State's going to the New Orleans Bowl. App State is not going to lose a game. They're not going to lose to Louisiana. They're going to go to the New Orleans Bowl. Louisiana is the best team in the West right now. Until they prove to me otherwise. They beat Arkansas State, who is their only competition right now. And Arkansas State looks very beatable. However, I think that Arkansas State's going to get to a bowl game. I think Louisiana is not going to go to the Cure Bowl. I think Georgia State is the better-looking team right now. It's kind of like the 2017 with Troy, where Troy was the best-looking team out of that. Or excuse me, 2016, where Troy was a better-looking team than the second-place team in the conference. So I think Georgia State's going to go out to the Cure Bowl in Orlando because right now they are the second best looking team in the conference. Mm-hmm. Louisiana looks great, but Georgia State is surprisingly good. I got Arkansas State going to the Camellia Bowl and then Troy headed out to the Arizona Bowl because I feel like Georgia Southern could get to 6-6, but I just don't see them making a bowl game this year. So recap real quick. New Orleans, my projections. New Orleans Bowl, Appalachian State, Dollar General Bowl, Louisiana, Cure Bowl, Georgia State, Camellia Bowl, Arkansas State, Arizona Bowl, Troy.
Well, I mean, right there, those are the top five best teams in the conference right now.
Right.
With the exception of probably Georgia Southern. They're kind of outside looking in.
Coastal Carolina's outside looking
Coastal
in.
Coastal Carolina's the same way. I was about to get to that. Our preseason predictions, you had seven teams going to bowl games.
Yeah.
I had six. You know, so you've got five teams listed there, and my point, and I still think I'm fine with talking bowl games, but I still think there's still too much parity in this league where we have App State with six wins, so they're basically qualified. They're going to get seven wins. Georgia State 5-2 and Louisiana 5-2. Everybody else is only has three wins. We're talking 3-3. And 3-4, and then 2-4 teams. That's what we're talking here. The only team that basically is mathematically eliminated. I'm sorry, South, but you're out. The ship has sailed for this season. I'm not saying pack it all the way in because you guys need to get at least two or three wins to just have some excitement for next year. But you guys are done with the bowl game this year. But the only, I just don't like talking bowls this early. It's October. There's so much other stuff that could happen outside of this. And I think, you know, I know I said App State going 11-1, but if App State pulls another shocker and beats South Carolina, App State, they have two Power 5 wins over an ACC and an SEC school, and one SEC school just beat the number 3 team in the country. So if you go into their house and you beat them, that only helps you. And then your other team that you beat, they only lost to Clemson by 1 point. So you've got two really quality wins that when people sit down and look at App State, and if they handle business against teams like what they just did to ULM, and they leave no doubt that they are just leaps and bounds ahead of everybody, App State might throw everything off, and they might get picked for an NY6 bowl. And there needs to be some other things. SMU, we talked earlier, SMU and Cincinnati are the two things standing in their way. But Memphis. SMU, Memphis even lost, so they're 5-1. I think Memphis losing to Temple, that's who they lost to. Memphis only has a good win over Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is not – I don't believe Ole Miss's win is as good as
the North Carolina win.
As the North Carolina win. And if they have South Carolina.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I still think that the being
tie-in.
And No. The being an American team is going to look better than being the Sun
Bowl. It might. There's just so much that still has left to happen, and that's why I'm hesitant to put anybody in any bowl slot right now. It's fun. I would say those five teams that you just did right there, I would say that I might flip Troy into the Camellia. I know Troy kind of is too close to Montgomery, and they don't want it to be that close.
I am absolutely certain
that they probably wouldn't go to the Camellia.
That they will not go to the Camellia.
Well, I mean, then maybe the Cure Bowl. I think this week, Georgia State Troy game, I think Cure Bowl was probably there.
You're right.
I don't know. You were at the South game.
I was. I sat next to the Cure Bowl guy there.
Troy had all of the bowl. They had every bowl representative, I feel like, at that game. It was like part of
it's a Wednesday night ESPN game.
CFB thing. So, I'm not disagreeing with anything you say. I just think for me, it's just too early to put any teams in.
I like your idea, and I'll credit you because it was your idea. Let's come back to this in November, and we'll talk more. How's that?
We will.
So, bowl predictions. Well, you'll see them. You'll hear them. That's them. Let's move on to this week's Know Your Enemy. We're going to head out west, partner.
Is that when we're going into the...
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
I'm going to leave this part on, too.
No.
Know Your Enemy.
It's our Know Your Enemy game of the week, Arkansas State and Texas State. Big battle in the West here. I think this is a trap game for Arkansas State. That's out the gate for me on this. It's a trap game for them. I think Arkansas State put a lot into Louisiana last week, and they lost that game. A lot of emotions in that game. Last two games, they're on a skid right now. And I think an Arkansas State team coming off a bye, I'm pretty sure, if they come in here and Arkansas State's defense has just got all these holes in it with all these injuries, they might be able to make something happen here. So, but for right now, we're going to talk about this game, and we're going to go straight to Arkansas State. And now we are joined by Chase Gage, the one and only beat reporter, in my opinion, for Arkansas State, from Red Wolf Report and Under Review Podcast. I haven't listened to Under Review yet, but we need to get on that probably. I mean, considering he's talking about Arkansas State. So, first of all, Chase, thank you for joining us tonight. We're glad you're here.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is gonna be really fun. I mean, we've never met for one thing, but you know, we always follow each other on Twitter, and you definitely have some pretty good points a lot of the time that whenever I see any of your stuff that you post. So, but first, let's just dive in. You know, Ark State. You know, we're halfway through the year. They're sitting at 3-4 on the season. What's kind of the morale in Jonesboro right now with this football program?
Well, we've seen better days, that's for sure. You know, in the recent past of Arkansas State football, we've become, you know, we consider ourselves to be one of the better D5 programs in the country. And, you know, winning consistently at a high level has become the standard here. So having a down year, which, I mean, obviously you can't underestimate what the injury issue has done to Arkansas State. Just several key players out for the year here and there, offense, defense, you know, everywhere. But even with that morale, people feel like we still should have won a couple of those games. We still should have beat Georgia State without the missing. We feel like we still should have at least competed more with Louisiana when they came to town. I feel like we had chances there and didn't capitalize. You know, we let SMU come in while we were fully healthy. And even though SMU was really good this year, we let them come into our house and steal a victory at the last second there. So it's the weird atmosphere because, as we kind of talked about before we went live here, you know, at what time Coach Inch, it seemed like his seat was warming up a little bit. And, you know, of course, our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family and what they've been going through. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Some people think that you can't talk about, you can't criticize a coach going through, you know, what he's been going through. But at the time, there were some people making legitimate criticisms about the product on the field. And it's a weird spot to be in. There's injuries. There's all the outside stuff. And yet there's still a chance at a bowl game. So it's really a mixed bag of emotions in Jonesboro right now.
Well, you know, you've had some bright spots, though. I mean, obviously, the first guy that comes to everybody's mind is Omar Bayless and the incredible year that he's having. I mean, he's been added to the Biletnikoff Award list like mid-season. Can you just talk about his impact that he's had on this team? Is he? It's, I mean, in my eyes, he's one of the reasons why you guys have been able to keep, you know, stay in ball games and win ball games. I mean, against Troy alone, Troy had no answer for him the entire game. You know, what has he really brought to this team this season?
Man, I literally can't say enough good things about Omar. I think a lot of people shared this opinion over spring football and fall camp. You know, coming into the year, Kirk Merritt was supposed to be the guy on our offense after leading the Sun Belt in yards a year ago. Everyone kind of thought that, oh, he's going to go to receiver, but there was just kind of this feeling. And we were like, well, it's just practice. But in practice, it was like, man, Omar's making every play. Like, whenever the offense needs a play, Omar's going and getting it. And you could tell just how hard he works and how you could tell his dedication, his leadership. He's not like a regular vocal leader. He really leads by example. And you could tell even before the season starts that he's like, man, this dude is putting in the work. And then obviously translated more than anything we could have ever imagined. I mean, I've been watching Arkansas State football not as long as a lot of people. you know, I'm a little than a lot of the fans, but I've been watching for 13 years, and I've never seen an offensive player perform like this for the Red Wolves or the Indians back in the day. He's averaging 142 yards a game. He's got 993 yards this season. Nobody else in the country even has 900, and he's about to hit 1,000. And he's tied for the touchdowns with 10. Hit 4 in the opener against SMU. He's already tied the A-State single-season touchdown record. He's already broken the career record by 3. I mean, and like you said, when we played Troy, there's literally no answer. And then even though the Cajuns, they had a good scheme, they played, you know, an extra guy over the top against them, it felt like he had a bad game. And then you look at the stat sheet, and he had 9 catches for 150 yards. But you didn't come away even – like that, but like he has single-handed, I guess the quarterback has to get him the ball, but he's been the consistent factor in the offensive numbers. I mean, he's good for 100 yards and a touchdown every night.
And let's keep going here. You know, Lane Hatcher, I mean, the redshirt freshman quarterback, the kid had all the accolades. Obviously, it's nice having a guy like Omar Bayless to throw to, but what have you seen the progression of Lane Hatcher from the Troy game? Obviously, he came out slinging the rock, basically, in that first game, but have you seen a progression of him? I mean, obviously, you've had these two losses here. What do you think he's kind of taken away from those two losses?
Well, we can even really go back to fall camp, and you could tell that Logan Bonner was the starter. And seeing him was a huge hit. Patrick has done a great job stepping in. We still obviously miss Bonner and wish him a quick recovery, all that. But, even going back to fall camp, you could tell that one of the big differences between Bonner and Hatcher wasn't arm strength or talent or IQ or anything. It was, really came down to decision making. You could tell that Hatcher had it all in his head. He knew how to run the offense, but you could also tell that he was like a freshman at times. You know, he was holding the ball too long, throwing in double coverage that he didn't see, stuff like that. And you even saw a little bit of that in the Troy game. You know, he had the 2 interceptions, one of them coming late that almost could have cost the Red Wolves the game. Then, you know, he's a decent game against Georgia State. He's kind of settling in. And then against Louisiana, he said in the post game that a lot of the plays were RPOs, and that the Cajuns were kind of letting them have the run. So he didn't air it out as much in that game. And it was kind of like with Omar. That was a game where you think, wow, Lane didn't really air it out too much. Then you look at the stat sheet, and he had 303 yards. But I think his decision making has improved a lot over the weeks. I think he's just faced some tough matchups overall. But he's getting better with every game. He brings that same type of intensity that I was talking about with Omar. He's one of those first guy to practice, last guy to lead, all in the film room type guys. I think he's got a very bright future. He's got all the tools. He really just needs to polish them over time. And that's where Bonner, he had the advantage of sitting behind Justice Hansen for a few years and, you know, learning behind a quarterback like that. Once it was his time, he was ready to go. Whereas with Hatcher, he had, you know, three games and just got thrown in all of a sudden. It's like, oh, hey, go win us football games. So you can tell that it's been a tough transition, but he's improved. And I think the number one thing, like I said, is his decision making is getting better.
That's good. You know, this week, let's talk about our game of the week here. You got your Texas State team that prides themselves for the last couple of years of having a stingy defense. And, you know, you get them at home, obviously, but that same Lane Hatcher is going to have to go up against this Texas State defense. What does Texas State bring to the table that, you know, is there that can kind of, you know, mix up or cause trouble for Arkansas State this weekend?
Well, just based on recent experiences with Texas State, so they're a much improved team over last year. Last year, I thought that they had a good team last year. They just couldn't get over the hump. I can't remember what their record was. It wasn't very good, but they were much better than their record said they were last year. And I think they've gotten better this year. And really, they've always played really good defense. And then keep the ball away from the other offense. You know, hold the ball. And I think that's where they can present some problems for the Red Wolves, because if they can force us into some three and out, our defense is, like I said before, not that great. And so there's the potential that if we don't, it almost feels like a game where we have to score every time we have the ball just to stay in the game. You know, it's, If there's a three and out, they might hold the ball for 6 minutes, and then if we can't get something going again, the quarter's over. You know, just on, you might only get the ball two or three times each quarter against a stingy defense. So it's not as easy a matchup as a lot of people think it might be. They see, oh, it's Texas State, they're not that good. It's like, well, you're not paying attention then.
You know, real quick, you know, what are the three things, you know, that you think Arkansas State needs to accomplish, you know, this weekend to basically come away with a win?
They have to be better on third down on both sides of the ball. That's an area that we've struggled getting the defense off the field. I couldn't even tell you how many times this season that the defense has had the other team in a third and seven. And they get a stop, but there's a face mask, or they get a pass interference, or whatever it might be, just self-inflicted wounds that keep the defense on the field. And then on the other end, if you go back to even just Louisiana this week, the Red Wolves had a third and one at midfield, down 7 points, couldn't get 1 yard, went for it on fourth and one and couldn't get that 1 yard. So moving the sticks, staying ahead of the chains, not getting in long third down situations, and converting when you have a chance on third down. I don't have the stats pulled up with me right now, but I know that our third down efficiency has not been great on either side of the ball. That's two. Did you say three keys to the game? I would say getting multiple receivers involved. That's something that since Hatcher has come into the fold, kind of like we touched on, he obviously favors Omar because Omar is the guy, but kind of spreading the love a little bit. That's something I would have liked to have seen more against Louisiana. We went to the run game early and often. Marcel Murray had 35 carries for 154 yards, if I'm not mistaken. If I am, sorry, that's off the top of my head there. but if he can keep that running game going like that, being able to get the ball to Kirk Merritt in space, getting it to Jonathan Adams Jr. outside, obviously getting to Omar, get the ball to Brandon Bowling. that's something that offensive coordinator Keith Heckin has preached all season is get the ball to the playmakers. However you have to do it, get them the ball. And that's something that I don't think we've done well in the two Sun Belt losses so far. So just spread the love on offense.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, sweet. Well, Chase, thank you so much for joining us. Chase Gage of the Red Wolf Report and the host of Under Review, the podcast out of Arkansas State. So, again, Chase, thank you for joining us tonight on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Once again, thanks for coming on our show, Chase. I follow him so much. He has great takes on a lot of things. I'm glad that we get to meet and can talk to these guys because it's really fun being able to put a voice to the people that we follow on social media. So, but no, the thing that I liked the most that he said was getting off the field was Ark State's problem with getting off the field and staying on the field. You know, having drives that last longer, keeping their defense off the field because they have had all these injuries. I think they get that done this week. Texas State, I know we haven't gotten into Texas State yet, but just looking at Texas State's problems on offense and just they're kind of, they aren't as abysmal as South Alabama is, but they still have those problems. And I think if Art can win this game, that's going to be something. I think he hit the nail on the head there with saying they've got to get Texas State off the field and they've got to keep their offense on the field.
I don't think it's going to be necessarily difficult to do that against Texas State. But let's go find out. We are now joined by, some royalty, actually.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we are joined, and by God, we are blessed, we are joined by the president of the Texas State Sports, Mr. Andrew Zimmel himself. Yep, we're branding it. You're welcome, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show tonight. This is gonna be pretty fun. Let's just dive right in. Texas State, we're year one of Jake Spavital. The guy, is he 25? I mean, the guy looks super young. Does it look like there's a college kid that's running up and down the sidelines?
So, okay, when I started this, I said to him, I was like, is it hard being the prettiest coach in the Sun Belt Conference? And he laughed at that. But seriously, it is different to have a younger guy. You see him around campus in the hoodie and the shorts, running around trying to get the program, get the ship righted. But, yeah, no, it's nice to see somebody a little bit younger, especially when, you go on Sunday and you see the guys like Cliff Kingsbury and Sean McVay, then you can go on Saturday and watch your head coach look just like he's in that same age bracket.
2-4 on the year. Is that kind of where you guys expected to be at this point in the season?
No, I fully anticipated us being 3-3. I thought the Wyoming loss was to be expected, but I had hope. Coming off a bye week against ULM, I was really disappointed in that loss. 10-point loss at home, I didn't think that was acceptable. The problem is that Spavinal, he came in, there was not any, thought that this wasn't going to be an offensive coach, right? You get a defensive coach in Withers, you get an offensive coach in Spavital, you expect the offense to score some points. Mm-hmm. That's not been happening. The defense is probably one of, I'm going to say, top 10 in group of five, just by the type of talent they have. Now, the numbers don't reflect that, but just the talent that they're able to put on the field between Nick Daniels and Brian London, and a secondary that's been, in my opinion, lights out when they get good rest. Mm-hmm. They're not putting points on the board. And to me, covering this team, writing about this team, I'm probably, the harshest critic. But that's what the biggest fan is. The biggest fans are the mm-hmm. harshest critics. And yep. I've said before, and I'll say again, I'm a fanalist, right? I'm a fan, and I'm an EBA analysis for the team. And Spavital, he doesn't have a quarterback. And we're going to get into that in a second, I know. But, mm-hmm. him not having his Johnny Manziel, his Will Greer, is really holding this program back.
And I guess let's just jump right into that. You go from Jensen. I just call him G Easy because I kind of have problems just pronouncing his name for some reason. You can make that. We branded you as president. You can brand him as G Easy from now on. So, just what have you seen from him? And obviously, he's not getting the nod this week. You're going back to Tyler Vitt. What has he not done? Has he lost the position? Is that where you're at right now?
No, he's under concussion protocol right now. Okay. And I said this at the SMU game where we kind of we saw Jensen or GEZ play about three quarters of the game, and then we saw Vic come in when it was a blowout and he threw for a touchdown. But I said that if you took Vic's athleticism in his arm and you took Gresh's brain and the way that he is able to see the field, you'd have a perfect college quarterback. But you can't do that. We don't have a mad scientist to mold players together. So you have Jensen, who knows Bob Stitt's offense, who I think Spavinal trusts, running the offense right now, up until this point where it, going into Arkansas State, you're going to get Vic, who is, you know, more of a young gunner. I don't know if he's able to read the defense as well as Gresh has been able to up until this point. I really do think that the coaches trust Gresh, but the players trust Vic, if that makes sense. And the offense is going to play hard for Vic. They're going to play hard for GEZ, but they're going to play hard for Vic. And I think this really, it's weird that, like, we're able to look at one game and kind of decide a guy's career. But if he has a terrible game against Arkansas State, you might not see him playing much for the rest of the season and maybe not seeing him play again for Texas State with Brady McBride kind of being in the wings waiting for his eligibility to kick in next season.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up. That was the guy that I was, you know, it's like you've got this, you know, QB in waiting, just sitting back there for next year. You know, do any of these guys even stand a chance of proving something this year where they could even, you know, go up against this kid that is kind of the QB one in waiting for next year?
See, you know, it's weird. We don't have enough film, just as like guys that sit around the bar and talk about these guys. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough film on Brady to really make a definitive case, hey, this guy should be starting for us next year. So I'm not willing to see that just yet. But, you know, the worst thing to have as a fan is hope. And I think Brady gives the Texas State fan base that little glimmer of hope that, okay, maybe this is a 2-win, 3-win team at the end of this season, but we have this other guy who's able to come in and kind of fill the hole. Now, the problem is that Ryan London will be in the NFL next year at this time. So the fact is that defense is going to take a step back, so the offense is going to need to take 2 steps forward to compensate for that.
Yep. You know, this week, you know, let's get into this game. You know, you play Arkansas State. You're talking – we've been talking about these offensive struggles, but you get to play a beat-up Arkansas State defense that's just got – I mean, we just got off the phone with Chase Gage – you know, that just injuries all over the place, and they're giving up 530 yards a game. I mean, 300 over the year. Is this a game where you're kind of like, okay, if we can't do it against a defense like this, who are we going to do it against? Is that kind of the mentality going into this game?
No, and it's funny you should say that. No, I was just talking to the guys today. Texas State, I want to say, is an 11-point underdog or 12-point underdog, underdog when I was talking to my bookie, at least. And this offense, it's going to have to be ground and pound, right? If this game gets anywhere close to 21 points for Arkansas State, Texas State's not going to be able to pull it off. So the defense really for Texas State is going to have to step up. The Arkansas State defense, even though they are beat up, I still think that the Texas State offensive line isn't good enough to really move the ball down the field with a running game, and their pass blocking isn't good enough, and Gresh isn't playing, but Vic's arm and his decision-making kind of makes me question if they're going to be able to move the ball down the field throwing it. So Texas State's defense is in an abusive relationship with the offense. I've been saying this since the beginning of time. But they're going to have to step up if Texas State wants to win this game.
You know, and you're talking about this defense. Arkansas State has arguably the best player in the conference right now, or the player that's having the best season right now, in Omar Bayless. How do you stop a guy? You talked about your DBs. I mean, this is going to be probably the biggest test of their season. How do they stop a guy like Omar Bayless?
I don't know if you do, right? Like, and that's where Texas State fans, I think, are worried. You look at this, I was looking at this season, or this Arkansas State game, especially when their quarterback and their running back both went down. I said, this is a team that I think that the Bobcats can beat. And now this guy is blowing up too. So I don't know if Texas State, I sound like a real pessimist, but I just don't see Texas State. I really don't. I don't see Texas State going into Jonesboro and beating Arkansas State. I won't, and I hate to be that guy. But that's where I'm at right now.
You're a realist. I mean, I'm you know, not trying to put words in your mouth, but if they were to win this game, you know, what would have to happen for what does Texas State have to do? I mean, you said they got to be able to move the ball. What do they got to do?
That's the number one thing. Number one thing is that the front five, front seven, getting to the quarterback. We've seen it happen in the past with Brian London and Nick Daniels able to really disrupt a quarterback's timing. With Shane Buechele, they did a pretty good job of getting to him in that SMU game. I know the scoreboard doesn't, like, really represent that, doesn't reflect that, but they've done a pretty good job of kind of getting to quarterbacks. The problem is that Texas State's two wins, one of them comes against an FCS team, and the other one comes against a team that they had to take to three overtimes. So, if you're looking at this game as a Texas State needs to make a statement, and they're coming off a bye week, so everybody should be healthy. This would be the time for Texas State, if they're going to win a game, this is where they need to win the game and reassert themselves into that conversation of, hey, we still have a chance to win a game against Coastal Carolina, and if App State doesn't show up, we might be able to sneak a win off against the best team in the conference. Right? Like, yeah. You got nothing to lose. Those are the two games that I think Texas State has circled, right? Arkansas State, you need to win this week. And then when App State, you have to go there to play them. You have to show up with everybody healthy and try to take out the big dog, right? We're playing for nothing but the respect of your peers. Because this isn't a bowl team. This is a team that is going to have to play Arkansas State close and probably close to Carolina at the end of the year close.
You know, you just said they weren't a bowl team. Now, I mean, I'm looking at your next three games here: Ark State, Louisiana, and South Alabama, and then you get Troy at home. What if you do win this game? I mean, you're at three wins. I see chances against, you know, I guess Louisiana is going to be a tough game.
The worst thing to have as a sports fan is hope. So seriously, because, like, think, the minute you get some hope, you get disappointed by your quarterback, your running back, your offensive coordinating head coach not being able to put the ball in the end zone. I had so much hope for this team coming into the season, and now I've pivoted to my Brian London is a top two-round pick in the NFL draft. That's where all my eggs are right now, is we're going to get this guy into the NFL.
There you go. I love hearing that. I mean, that's something to look forward to. Especially, I mean, come NFL draft day. So, well, perfect. This interview flew by, Andrew. It's been awesome to talk to you tonight. Hopefully, they do surprise you this weekend. You know, hopefully, it's a good game, obviously, and we'll see what happens. But again, thank you for coming on, Andrew Zimmel, out of Texas State, the president of Texas State Sports.
Thanks so much, man.
I don't think we've ever had somebody come in that was supposed to be talking to be telling us, convincing us, like, this team's going to win, my team's going to win. And I guess we didn't, like, in the pregame setup or pre-show setup, I guess we didn't say, hey, you have to convince us.
Well, we never do that.
I guess we don't do that. But, like,
we don't want people to do that. We want objective opinion.
Objective opinions. I know that. But I don't think we've ever gotten an objective opinion of saying, nah, you know what? I don't think we got this one, guys. Because that's just what I felt like with him. Like, and I love his thing. He goes, I'm a fanalist. I like that term. I really do. I think he needs to coin that term. But just he kept going back to hope. You know, like, I feel like, you know, like, Auburn fans are kind of like that. Like,
they are.
Like, they get all this hope and they just latch on. Iowa fans are the same way, and it always just dispels. So him always going back to, you know, I just can't have hope in this one. And then I think he's a realist. I think he's a smart kid that realizes this is first year head coach. Now, I wouldn't go as far to say, I think he mentioned something maybe about, you know, he's the Spavital, you know, was he the right guy? I think he is the right guy. I think Spavital is the right guy. But I just love his reaction to what do they have to win? Oh, I don't know. I don't think they are going to win. So I don't think we've ever had a guy come on the show like that. So,
and at least he was honest, and I really do applaud that.
Yeah. It's great. I think Texas State has a chance in this game. If they can somehow get some stops, and they have the defense that can do that, they're second right now in the conference in pass defense. Ark State, that's what they do, is they average like 300 yards a game. So this is going to be strength versus strength, I think, in this game. When you really look at the best part of Texas State's team, and that's their defense, and their pass defense, they're allowing under 200 yards a game. That's solid. That's a solid pass defense. And you have linebackers in a secondary like what they have go up against Omar Bayless. I mean, it is Omar Bayless. It is the Omar show. And if they can somehow put some pressure on this young quarterback in Lane Hatcher, they've got a chance. I don't want to totally write them off. Like they've got a chance.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to hold you to it.
Okay.
Put your money where your mouth is, because it's Best Bets.
Best Bets.
That's right. It's Best Bets. And we're going to start it off with our game of the week. Hashtag know your enemy game of the week. Texas State at Arkansas State. I totally stole the thunder from you there at the beginning there. But let's go ahead and get into it. I have to agree with you. I agree with the president. I think Arkansas State takes this one. It's just there's too much to hold on to. You think Texas State has a chance, though?
I think they have a chance. The spread's 11.5. I think it's a super, super close game.
Really?
I think it's a low-scoring game. He even said, you know, if you keep it to 21 points, like, that's all you're allowing Ark State to score.
Right.
That is going to be a tough ask. But I think they could do that. Like I believe in this Texas State defense. They are a gritty Texas State defense. Now the problem is they don't have an offense that if this game gets out of control, it's Ark State all the way. And I've got to stay with Ark State just because of Omar Bayless. And I think Lane Hatcher is growing up. I think he's learned a lot out of these last two wins. So I'm going to go with Ark State.
Well, you and I and 90% of our fans agree with that. One person picked Texas State in that game. Let's move on to Atlanta. Troy is in Atlanta for Georgia State.
Man, and a lot of people, I think on Sunday I texted you, or it might have been with this game, maybe it was a different game, but this looked like a really good game, and this was really close to being our game of the week. But for other reasons, we had to choose this game or choose the game that we did this week. But this is a really, really good game. Like, I think this is going to be probably the best game of the weekend. Georgia State gets Troy at home. We saw the fan, even in a tropical storm last week, the fans still came out for the Army game. So Georgia State's physical team. Here's the thing. I'm not sold on Troy's defense at all.
No.
Not. But this is finally the first test for Troy, and I tweeted about it, that they're going to have to go up against a team that runs the ball, that can run the ball. Problem is that Georgia State right now, Trey Mardet still having a decent season, but anybody who's anybody when you watch Georgia State, the offense runs through
Dan Ellington. Yeah.
And that is the offense right there. They've got McCoy. He's a decent freshman wide receiver. Troy right now, they looked, I know they're playing south, but the defense looked cognizant for once in a while. I mean, when it came to passing, they really did. I mean, I know that they don't have that South didn't have the wide receivers, and this is a tough pick for me. It really is. I'm gonna go with Troy. I'm gonna be a homer. I'm gonna go with Troy.
I don't think that's a bad pick. I think you're right.
This is really a toss-up. I mean, it's like a full point.
It's literally one point.
It's a push, basically. If Troy's offense gets going, if K.O. Barker can, and Georgia State's defense has holes in it as well. They are not an unstoppable defense. So if Troy can get scoring, I think Troy wins this ballgame.
You agree with 62% of our fans in Troy. I'm going with the other 38%. I'm going to go Georgia State. Sincerest apologies. Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you more about this in my blog post for the preview for the Trojan Wall. But needless to say, Troy is 0-2 in shootouts right now against Arkansas State and Southern Miss. And this is going to be another shootout. Mm. Troy's going 0-3.
Okay.
Let's go out to Statesboro, the team I was thinking of, the next team. Mm-hmm. Georgia Southern's hosting the New Mexico State Aggies. Let's just get into it. I think Southern wins it. I don't think there's much chance for New Mexico State. They're just not doing really well. 90% of our fans agree. Same deal. Georgia Southern?
Georgia Southern, I think, gets this. New Mexico State's just a really, really bad team. I was trying to find some stats on New Mexico State. I don't think they've had a 100-yard rusher yet in the season.
Nope.
I'm zooming in here. They haven't Adkins, their quarterback. They're just bad. I mean, they've played Alabama and Washington State 58-7, 62-10. Their closest game was Liberty. Liberty. That was their closest game.
And what was the score?
20-13. Every other game other than New Mexico, they had a shootout there, 55-52. It's a close game, and New Mexico is not saying much. No, Georgia Southern, too physical. I think it's at Georgia Southern.
It is. It is, yeah. In Statesboro.
So Statesboro, New Mexico's got travel. It's Georgia Southern.
Another quick one, App State at South Alabama this weekend. The Jags get the Mountaineers on homecoming. That was a bad decision. I got App.
I don't know who scheduled this game, but not a good decision. Please go to the Twitter poll. Has it gotten any better for South?
Not at all. 205 votes.
Oh, they got 3%. Okay.
South Alabama has 3% of the votes.
They had 1% of the vote when I tweeted about 4 hours ago on Wednesday. When I first tweeted that, it was 99-1. I've never seen any of our polls go 99-1 before.
I don't think I've ever seen any of our polls get 205 votes, but here we are.
200 votes, but 97-3.
Yep.
Sorry, App State rolls. I think App State puts up 45 in the first half.
Here's the deal. Let's go into the future a little bit. Ooh. The last two teams we talked about are playing each other in one of the best rivalries. It's in the middle of the week, which is why we aren't making it a game of the week. Stupid call on ESPN's part, but whatever.
All to get on TV. Do they not know we have a show?
Right? Like, they don't care about us, obviously. We don't care about them. So we're picking them in a week in advance. Georgia Southern, App State. Talk about a poll. 468 votes right now, as of right now, for this
poll. I'm surprised more Georgia Southern fans didn't. I mean, I'm sure that they were there, but App State fans really came out.
Were like, we need to overthrow this
but
bowl.
But you talk about there's a rivalry right there.
Yeah.
That's a rivalry right there.
That's exactly
what
it is.
They don't even want to lose Twitter polls, and that's great to see. I love that. I love that. We were doing a little social media following right
there. Oh, yeah, that was fun.
That was exciting to see. Just kind of who really sticks out. App State, no doubt. I mean, I have them going 11-1, possibly 12-0, depending on the South Carolina game. They're too workmanlike right now. And I know it's a Thursday night game. It's in Boone.
Yep.
Yeah, it's in Boone this year. App State all the way.
So App State doesn't lose Twitter. I don't think they lose the game either. Let's head back out west. We're staying out west with a theme for our auto conference game. Nevada and Wyoming, two teams that have really given some Power 5 teams some scares this year. Nevada beat a Power 5 team?
Wyoming
beat Missouri. I was thinking about Nevada, though. But two Group of Five Mountain West teams that have given Power 5 teams scares. We talked about them earlier this season. The Mountain West has been pretty good against
they
Power 5
pretty,
teams.
Yeah,
I got Wyoming in this one just based on performance record. I don't know if Nevada has what it takes, but I'm going with Wyoming, and apparently so are 75% of our fans, which is actually just 6 votes. But
well, we don't really get those Mountain West votes, do we?
I know. It's okay.
It's fine. It's fine. We like doing this. Wyoming has their head coach is Craig Bohl. Craig Bohl used to be at North Dakota State. North Dakota State also has a big game this week against South Dakota State.
Go Jackrabbits.
On College Game Day, of all things.
That's right.
That incredible. Brookings, South Dakota, the Jackrabbits hosting College Game Day. Who would have thought South Dakota State would have had College Game Day show up at their campus before any Sun Belt school?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that one? No, Craig Bohl comes from North Dakota State. He's a heck of a coach. He won like 5 national championships. Wyoming, they can run the ball. They got a pretty good quarterback. And also, shout out Jen Shuck. She's one of my wife's good friends. She finished her undergrad at Wyoming, something
worked
like that.
There. She worked there.
Worked there. Worked with the football team. She's my insider right there. And she says, pick Wyoming no matter what. They always beat Nevada. So,
well, there you go.
I got to pick Wyoming. That's my Wyoming insider. Yes, we have those here at the Bench Boys.
Apparently. But we have insiders everywhere. And really, the only difference here is that Troy Georgia State game. So we're going to be watching on that.
See, you're going to have to root for Georgia State in this poll, but I get to root for Troy 100%, and if they lose, I lose. It doesn't matter.
And see, if I lose this poll, Troy still wins. So I'm playing the game, baby.
I guess you're playing. Yeah.
Speaking of playing games, we got a final word that...
it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Final word.
Well, our final word, if we had the copyright, I'd start it off with the song. Because you know, obvious. Actually, no, I don't know. I wouldn't want to get flagged by the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
Because apparently every single player in the Coastal Carolina versus Georgia Southern game over the weekend was flagged, and seven of the players were ejected because they had a dance-off. Not a fight. They were literally 20 yards away from each other, each on their own sidelines. Now, granted, they were on the field. I will say that. But they weren't even close to each other having a dance-off because who doesn't get litty? I can't say the other half of that word.
Litty bitty.
Litty bitty. There you go. We're a G-rated podcast. Who doesn't get litty bitty to Mo Bamba? I mean, especially at a football game. Like it is the
any sort of music. That's the whole point of pump up music, is to get you pumped up and to get you amped.
Yeah.
Like, and anybody would have been dancing to that music in the crowds, in the stands, like on the sidelines. Like the Saints,
they play halftime, you know. I mean, everybody is getting just crunk. Yeah, crunk for this song. And those two teams, you're flagging these kids for jumping up and down. They weren't even in each other's faces. Like,
no.
I'm not saying reprimand these refs, but come on, dude. Like, these kids are just, like, they're having fun, man. It was raining out. Like, it's a mud, I'm not saying it's a mud bath or anything going on there, but it's raining. No one's happy to be standing in the rain. You play a song to get them up and get them going, and you're going to throw flags and you eject seven kids for it. Like, that's just uncalled for, man. Like that, trust me, that would, what was it? Like Florida. Remember a couple years ago when Tebow was there and like Georgia scored first and the entire Georgia team came down like into the end zone. Okay. I understand that. But yeah. Like these two teams were like on their own sidelines doing like just jumping up and down. Like that's all they were doing. And these refs just thought it that, oh, we got to flag all these kids. Like
more
that's just,
like no fun belt. Like
no fun belt there. That is.
Cause I mean,
that's about like, as well as you can put it.
It was ridiculous. It was dumb. And like, as long as it wasn't after a touchdown, cause I mean, think about it. If they were dancing on the sideline, players dance on the sideline all the time.
They have like a hype crew. Like
literally.
Like everybody has like towels
kickoffs,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they're all getting hyped and like, you're going to like, throw flags on
what's
that?
What's the
like,
point of having a marching band sitting right there playing yeah. stand tunes if you're not going to have your players dance? What's the point of having cheerleaders? They're literally there getting scholarships to dance in
to
short
dance.
Skirts and pom-poms.
Granted, they aren't on the field, right. But these guys weren't like dancing on the 50-yard line. They were on.
No.
They were close to their sidelines, and the coaches had them. I mean, the coaches had control of the situation. You guys, like, come on, just... There was no need for that. So
we'd be remiss if we didn't mention it. Like,
yeah,
it's,
no. I think it's. I've seen a lot of these smaller conferences, refs, that the leash is so much shorter, for some reason on with their flags compared to, I hate to say it. I'm sorry, but Power Five refs like you wouldn't see that in an SEC game. They would know that everything's fine. It's under control. Like. We get it. Like,
I'm sure they've had dance offs.
Yeah,
in Power
I mean
Five
that
games.
just happens. Like, it was just an uncalled for, like show of. I think, and I've seen refs where they think, oh, if we let that happen, then we're gonna lose control of the game. They weren't gonna lose control of the game.
No,
they weren't. Like that was just bad. It was bad, just really bad.
We have
so,
no words for it. Is what
Mo
you're trying to say?
I really wonder if Mo Bamba is gonna be ever played again.
No,
at Coastal Carolina,
which is a shame.
Or Georgia Southern, excuse me.
It's a tragedy.
It'll probably be played in Atlanta. It'll probably be played at Troy. Yeah. Like I guarantee you. It might even be played up in Jonesboro.
Look, what we need to do is to get with every single athletic department.
That should be the hype song.
And get them, yeah, get them to play Mo Bamba at every game, at the beginning of the game, just to send a message to say, we are the fun belt, we are going to have fun, and we're going to dance our tails off.
Heck yeah, heck yeah.
So do until it. Then, until our revolution is complete, our dance revolution is complete, I'm on it with the puns tonight. That's all it is. Follow us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. He's Colin Cahill. I'm Thomas Gleaton. If you're listening to us, hit that subscribe button. You can get the latest updates. You can get the podcast when they come in. He's still shaking his head at my pun. We're everywhere podcasts can be found.
Dance Revolution. Lord, I spent way too much time on that game when I was growing up.
I will be here all week.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. So, as you guys should be here all week, have a good weekend and come on back.